and welcome to The Logistics Tribe. I'm Boris Felgendreyer, founder of The Logistics Tribe, and today we will take a look at what Google, in particular Google Cloud, is up to when it comes to logistics and supply chain management. Google Cloud has been active in this space for a couple of years now, and it's starting to become clear now why it may actually be a great match. Our guest today is Hans Thalbauer, who has a rich history in supply chain tech and is now the managing director of Google Cloud supply chain and manufacturing capabilities. This episode is hosted by Marco Prügelmeier. Before we get started, a quick thanks to our supporters Grey Orange. Grey Orange automates warehouse operations through a combination of AI software and autonomous mobile robots. Grey Orange systems are in place at some very prominent companies such as IKEA or the Danish household goods and furniture retailer Jysk. If you're looking to get your warehouse and fulfillment operations to the next level with the help of autonomous robots and automation, you should definitely have Grey Orange on your list. Check them out at greyorange.com. All right, and now let's move on to the show with Hans Thalbauer, hosted by Marco Prügelmeier. Enjoy.
Hello, Hans. Welcome to the Logistics Tribe.
Hi, Marco. Thanks for having me.
It's good that we have you here on the show because it's a dedicated logistics show. And I think there are a lot of people out there interested in what you are doing and what you are telling us the next half an hour or so. But just to jump in right now, I would like to ask you to give a short introduction. And how did you get to the Silicon Valley and to Google? And what did you do before? And I think you're coming from Austria originally, right?
I come from Austria. That's very correct. Actually, I'm right now in Austria and I'm taking this recording here from Austria. So My background is very much my entire life. I was working with companies around the world in all different industries on the topic of supply chain, on the topic of manufacturing, logistics. So that's pretty much my background. And I did that in many different forms and fashions. I started my career at a manufacturing company, actually, and really worked in the manufacturing company as in the strategy function. And then I joined SAP. And I was there for 20 years. And in these 20 years, I really had the chance to get to know all sizes of companies and all companies around the world in all different industries, and really covered all the time the topic of supply chain, manufacturing, product lifecycle management, asset management, and every related kind of function. About 2 years ago, I joined Google and Google Cloud, to be precise. I'm now the managing director for the supply chain and manufacturing industries at Google Cloud. And I'm very happy, actually, what we can do at Google and how we can support companies. It's very much a data-driven world we're living in. And, of course, Google actually really stands for data and making data accessible universally for companies, for everyone who is working in this context. And I think that's the task right now. Everyone asks for visibility. Everyone needs more information. But more information is not always good. So you also need intelligence. So therefore, the data combined with artificial intelligence was exactly which kind of attracted me why I joined Google Cloud.
So it seems that you can now apply everything that you learned at SAP regarding logistics and so on and supply chain to the data-driven world of Google and use the tools of Google to apply them on the supply chain.
That's absolutely correct, right? So, I mean, my career at SAP was super good. I really liked it. I really enjoyed it a lot. We were working on improving the efficiency of companies. We were working on introducing optimization algorithms, really introducing transactional environments, bringing master data together end-to-end. So a lot of these really hard problems we solved there. But I think actually where we can make so much difference at Google Cloud is really focusing on data and really bringing data together from all kinds of different systems and really not just providing data in the context of the enterprise, but also include data which are out there in the world, which describe the world, right? So one of the key things what I always struggled with when people asked for supply chain visibility is, well, they have the data from the enterprise, from the SAP systems, from the ERP systems. But what they're missing is all the information like what is the weather, what is the traffic, what is the climate, what are the health issues right now, and everything which describes a disruption. All these data sets are typically ignored. And this is where Google can really make a difference in bringing this information together with the enterprise information, with that really provide complete end-to-end visibility for supply chain professionals.
Yeah, it seems quite logical. Let's dive into that topic a little bit deeper. I read something about a program named Supply Chain Twin. And I think that's only one part of what you're doing actually in the logistics world right now. But let's start with this one, because I think that's kind of the flagship.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about this. I mean, when we started at Google 2 years ago and really defined how can we actually help companies in the area of supply chain, again, it was really the topic of visibility which came to mind, and really making sure that we bring data sets together from everywhere around the world in order to really make sure that company gets this visibility. So that was kind of the starting point. The second piece to the puzzle is the flexibility. So it's not just the visibility companies are asking for, but also more flexibility, because the world is changing so dramatically fast. And with all these different disruptions, companies need to adjust their systems and their processes and their decision processes actually very, very fast. So more flexibility is needed. And the last point, which we also want to really address, is the innovation topic, really making and thinking about problems differently and really using machine learning, artificial intelligent processes in the context of this data we are bringing together in order to drive better outcomes, right? So that's kind of when we started thinking of how can we really make a difference from a Google perspective. And this is what we started to do. And then our strategy is very, very simple and straightforward. We said first foundation is that we really describe the supply chain world, which we call the supply chain twin. It's a digital representation of the physical supply chain, right? So that's in one word what it is. What we do there is actually that we have three segments of data sets. The first segment is what we call the private segment. This describes the ERP data, right? So this would be the forecasts, the capacities, all the information about orders and everything actually which is typically handled in an ERP environment. The second segment is what we describe is a community segment. This is actually all the data which is shared between business partners. So think about track and trace data, think about orders, think about sustainability data. So data which is typically shared between companies, we have therefore created a community segment in the supply chain twin. It
could be either your suppliers or your customers.
It could be your suppliers, your customers, or business partners you have, right? And all sizes. And that's very important. We want to really make it simple and easy to provide this connectivity, which is a big problem right now. Connectivity, well, it's yes, still the EDI kind of topic, but we need to overcome that and make it much easier for companies to share information in a trusted environment. And maybe it's not necessarily actually really exchanging data, but much more referring to data. So that's another discussion, I think, when we want to deep dive. But that's the community segment. And then the third segment, which is very important, is the public data segment. And this public data segment really includes now the information which I described before. Like it comes from climate information to weather information, traffic information, the whatever pandemic, like the health crisis type of information, end-to-end. So whatever describes the world, actually, we want to bring together in this public segment. And all three together are really describing this supply chain twin. So once we have this foundation, we have a data model on top. Now we can really apply the different use cases, so the business processes. And this is what we call the supply chain pulse, where we have then analytical applications or solutions which allow companies to really analyze it. What we do here is actually providing templates and which are being adopted by customers in their specific way when they start the implementation. The third part of the strategy is then artificial intelligence and really using AI, ML algorithms and apply them. And we have started to really introduce them according to the, let's say, end-to-end value chain, where we start on the demand side, then address the inventory, we address the delivery side, so the fulfillment aspect, and also the sustainability aspect. So these four kind of categories we use in order to work on this AI solutions. And the fourth very, very important part of the strategy is we work with partners. We are not creating applications. Yeah, so we actually work partners. And this means we are working with the SAPs of this world, we're working with the Anaplans and Manhattans and an end of this world, and really make sure that the system landscape a customer has can be applied, right? So we don't want to replace, we actually want to augment the existing landscape and really provide with that the benefit and the efficiency which is needed.
Yeah, sounds interesting, Hans. And you mentioned already the connectivity, which is always somehow hard to achieve, right? Because you got the different systems and you have to connect in different ways, and then the connection changes in some way, or the application, and then you have to redo the connection and things like that. How do you do that with the supply chain tool?
Yeah. And you're so right, right? So that's one of the most important pieces, that we make it easy for everyone to connect. And so there are different ways to do that, right? Of course, at Google, we also provide the possibility to have API or EDI integration, right? So we leverage the Google Cloud Platform and the technology. There's one important part of the technology, which is called APG, which allows us to really use the APIs and create APIs, and with that make the connectivity work between business partners. Typically, this is done between large enterprises, I want to say. There's a second way how to share data and share information, where we have the possibility to do that right away in our data warehouse, right? So where we have BigQuery, and within BigQuery, we can say, I want to share in a secure way only this data set with my business partner. The business partner can access it also in a secure way and can actually also add data to it. The difference is there is no standard defined. With APIs and EDIs, you have a standard definition, right? So you know exactly what kind of data you can expect. And the second way, when you transfer data or share data just in a data warehouse, you actually do that and trust that the business partner understands what kind of data you share. The third way, which I actually think is very, very underestimated, is the way how we can connect the data warehouse, so BigQuery, also with emails. Yeah, so we use Gmail and generate actually the Gmails with data, and with that really enabling everyone to connect. And there are interactive maps, there are interactive data sets which can be shared with business partners. And you can also add the text, and we actually translate back and forth between structured and unstructured information in these data sets, right? So three ways where we can share and connect actually business partners. And I think actually there will be more coming, right? So there's a lot of discussion also in terms of networks in different industries. Think about Catena X when it comes to automotive industry. Think about other industries. There's a lot of effort underway how companies can share information in a more transparent way and easy way, so that everyone knows actually what kind of information they can expect.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested about the third way that you mentioned with the email protocol, let's say. How does that work? Is it an automated email generated out of BigQuery, or how can I imagine that?
Yeah, you can imagine it exactly like that, right? So we have Workspace and Gmail is part of it. And so we can actually really translate the information from BigQuery, from GCP, and transform it into the email. And from the email, you still have the possibility to make it interactive. So if you share actually a route for a truck, and then you have small carriers and maybe not the sophisticated IT landscape. So maybe that's the best way how you can share actually this routing information, and you can keep this up to date and just updating the route in the email. And then you reference back, right? So you get an email back and you can refer back, and there's the translation between structured and unstructured information. So that works actually quite nicely. And like I mentioned, I think actually it's a little bit underestimated, and people hesitate to call it as really a collaboration. But I would actually argue it is very much a collaboration which allows people actually and companies to make an easy connection between each other.
And it seems to be very flexible, right? And that's also what you mentioned at the beginning, visibility and flexibility. Right. Yeah? So that you easily can connect also smaller partners to the whole supply chain transparency. Let's assume that we have connected all the data, and of course the public data is anyway, Google is the star in this category. How does the outcome look like for the company using it? Is it like a supply chain vision board where I see where is my stuff, which one is critical, where do I have shortages, where do I have to react? Because there are two things that come to my mind, Hans. The one is that sometimes we have too much data, then people cannot really work with it anymore because it's just they're getting overloaded with data. And the other one is, how is the data structured so that everyone can easily work with it and take out the gains of it? Are you using AI also on top of that for certain procedures, or how does this work?
Yeah, absolutely right. So the way it works is, I would say, straightforward, right? So what we did and what we are doing is, we have a data model which can be expanded, right? So we are not defining and kind of have a fixed data model. It's a flexible data model which can be extended by every company. Then on top of it, we actually, with this data model, are able to really create all the different use cases, how we call it, or address the business processes. For that, we used Looker, another application Google is offering, analytical tools we are offering there. And with this Google and Looker dashboards, a company can exactly do what you described, creating these dashboards, creating these control centers, and with that really see what's going on. Of course, there's a lot of definition necessary. So it's not only a data model, you also need to have a semantic layer in between where you describe the business rules. When is an alert an alert? And this kind of definition is done in the semantic model. By using Looker, the analytical tool. But we are open here, right? So this is also very important. It's a very open environment. It's not a closed environment, which means, first of all, we support the hybrid cloud environments. We support multiple cloud environments. And on top of it, also on the analytic tools, we support actually multiple analytics tools. But of course, as Google, we are offering with Looker the analytics tool, which allow companies to really describe what I mentioned before, the control towers, control centers, and so on. But it's not just the control towers, control centers, right? It's really very much business processes, like a demand sensing process or an inventory optimization business process, where companies want to understand what is my risk level on the supply. Think about manufacturing and all the disruptions. An easy example is the microchip issue, where there are a lot of shortages. And so you need to understand what is the risk level with my components. It's not just the availability, but also the risk level to it. And this is what you need to take into account nowadays when you do inventory optimization. Yeah, it's not just the traditional, I have my demand variability, supply variability, and then I calculate what is the optimal inventory situation on the multi-echelon environment. But I need to take the risk level into account as well. And that's very important on the supply side as well as on the demand side. And so these are the things which are really very important when we then talk about what kind of machine learning, artificial intelligence algorithms we are putting on top of it. And here we go from the forecasting side to the inventory to the fulfillment transportation side. And just on transportation, because of the changing demand, how consumers are buying products, so of course, e-commerce is a huge topic. And the e-commerce share is ever increasing and fast increasing and accelerating than before. And so for that, we're really focusing on last mile shipment. And there we have integrated and introduced two solutions, actually. One together with Google Maps, where we have last mile shipment services, which ensure that the addresses which end consumers typing in are entered correctly, that we can share actual information to the carriers, that the analytical tools on it, that the execution of the truck, actually when the truck needs to drive, is taking place and can be tracked and traced. So this is kind of the Google Maps services. And then on the Google Cloud, what we did there is really focused on creating an artificial intelligence algorithm, which we call Cloud Fleet Routing, which is really the planning process, right? Google Maps is focusing on the execution. One truck drives needs to go from point A to point B and does that in a very efficient way and most sustainable way. And then on the Cloud Fleet Routing, we plan all the vans or trucks a company has and the thousands of trucks and create the optimized route and do that in a very, very fast way, right? So we can do that almost real time when it comes to simple environments. When it comes to very big environments, still it's super fast in how we can calculate the best routes and with that deal with disruptions during the day. These are just examples, right? How we using AI technology in the context of the data and in the context of Google Cloud.
Yeah, you just mentioned two basically new solutions, so the cloud fleet routing and the last mile fleet solution. Are these then interconnected to the supply chain twin, or is it just different tools and you can use them together? They work together, but you don't have to use them combined.
Exactly. So you don't have to, but you can, right? So it's always built in a way you can use the supply chain twin without anything else, without analytic tools, without the AI tools and so on. You can use the AI tools, which and the applications which we just discussed, so the cloud fleet routing, also without the twin, and you can use it with the twin. So that's how we defined it. And the reason is companies need flexibility. And flexibility is not just in the business process, but also on the IT side. Some companies have already maps, tools in place, and they don't want to replace that just in order to do cloud fleet routing. On the other side, maybe they use Google Maps and have already another fleet routing optimization. So we want to provide the flexibility and provide the best option for the companies. And therefore, yes, it works together, but you can run it.
Just to understand a little bit better on how much the public data plays into that game. So I imagine if I have a factory and I have 500 suppliers all over the world connected to the supply chain twin, and then there is an earthquake in somewhere in Mexico and close to one of my suppliers, would I get an alert?
Yeah, it depends on what kind of data sets you include in your supply chain twin. And yes, so if you do that in this way, yes, you get an alert. And it's not just an alert. Right? But think about it in a different way, right? So it's not just that you use this data for, let's say, disruptions which are going on right now. You can use that also more for the planning processes and more for the tactical / strategic planning processes. I give you an example. Think about climate and the climate crisis, and think about the drought, right? In California and in many other parts of this world, there's a real issue with not enough rain, and the drought gets more severe every year. And this has, of course, a huge impact in the vegetable and agriculture production, right? And agriculture in California is very big, or most vegetables actually produced in the US are produced in California. So now you have a dependency, right? And now you want to understand what is the impact, which farm actually got what kind of rain during the next season, and what is the climate situation overall. So we use Google Earth Engine to get the satellite images and the satellite information. Then we overlay that with where the farms are, what kind of products they are growing there. And then we actually apply the actual situation. And this actually gives us a trend, right? So this actually lets us understand what kind of products are at high risk in which parts of this world. So that's just an easy example how you use climate information in agriculture world. But you can also look at similar processes, like a ship is stuck in the Suez, and now what is the disruption actually, and what is the how can I solve that, right? So these tactical problems you can look at with this type of information, where you have public data sets combined with the operational data sets.
And the cloud fleet routing API that you have, what I read about it is that it's very good in ETA predictions, so estimating the arrival time, very good, assuming probably also taking traffic data into account and all that. And I read about that you're using something called super segments to even be able to calculate that. Can you talk two or three sentences about that? Because that sounds very interesting for logistics, for the logistics world. Yeah.
Yes, it's again, right? So based on the data sets and based on the variables we can include in the routing solution. And it's correct that the calculated ETAs that are taking into account the actual situation in combination with also more the historic information, right? It's not just actual situation and we are starting from scratch again and again. It's really based on learning. And that's, I think, one of the key elements, how you can calculate and come up with improved ETAs over time. We even go further than that, right? And the plans are that we do have more and more truck constraints in with Google Maps covered. And that means that you really have all the streets covered where you can drive as a truck. And that's a huge difference. If you have these maps, that's a big, big difference. Mm-hmm. And how you can calculate ETA, because then you understand that some trucks cannot drive on all the streets and they need to actually follow certain other routes. And if you can optimize that, that's really a big, big difference. So we're going in multiple directions here in order to improve the ETA for and the efficiency actually for the routes.
You mentioned already that you are working with partners and partnerships. Two questions on that. The first one is, are these solutions that we were talking about, are these open for everyone that is using the Google Cloud, or do you have to pay for it? Is there an extra charge, or what's the business model behind it? And the second question would be, there are a lot of startups in this area also. Do they have to be afraid now because Google is taking over?
No, nobody needs to be afraid. Like I said, it's a very open environment. Our interest is actually to really make a big difference with these type of solutions and also allow partners to use them. Right. So that means on the example of Cloud Fleet Routing, we work with a number of software companies where they embed the AI algorithm into their solutions. And that's exactly what we want. So let's use that technology. From a pricing model, the AI, artificial intelligence applications typically have a value-based pricing, but the majority of our solutions, like Supply Chain Twin, is actually only based on consumption, right? So there, it's not an additional kind of charge to use that. But for APIs or AIs, it's typically value-based pricing and the rest is consumption.
Very interesting, everything for the logistics world, Hans. And I think very well structured, because you are actually using a lot of what is already there at Google, right? You mentioned using Looker for the basically the Pulse dashboards. Yeah? I assume that you're using Vertex AI to do the machine learning stuff and the AI stuff. And also, if you need a data warehouse, then it's all connected to BigQuery. So I think that's really genius.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the key, right? So the reason why we were very fast, actually, and we were able to create this type of solutions very fast, was that the technology is there, right? It's already part of Google Cloud Platform. It has been there since the beginning, and therefore, now, we didn't need to reinvent those. We can leverage that, but we needed to bring it into the context of supply chain, context of logistics, context of manufacturing. And this is exactly what we are doing there, right? So, and how we create these solutions and the AI solutions on this.
Yeah, very clear, very clear. Makes really sense. In one sentence, you also mentioned sustainability. I know that there has been a study on sustainability, I think, quite recently. I don't know, several months ago. And is there also something where you can actually get the sustainability KPIs for your supply chain?
Yeah. I mean, sustainability is a huge topic, right? And I just recognize that I only mentioned it once so far in this talk. And typically, sustainability is being mentioned every second sentence. And so let's talk a little bit more on sustainability. It is a huge topic, and it is very much related to supply chain. Sustainability is very much driven and impacted by supply chain. And we typically really focus on the three different aspects. The first one is really around the carbon footprint, right? So the greenhouse gas emissions. The second is really to focus on the circular economy, so bring in the recycle, return, reuse processes. And the third one is really around the social responsibility topics, right? So this is how we kind of categorize the sustainability work. And also here, it's so super important when you think about scope 1, 2, and 3 data, and now you want to actually get more precise and more correct scope 3 data. This is a huge focus of ours, how we can do that and how we can help companies to do that. Logistics companies really have the possibility to provide this data more accurately also to their customers, to the shippers. And I think that's a huge topic which will go on and continue actually in the next coming month and years, how we can become better and better on that. But it is for us a huge focus, as you can easily imagine. And therefore, we also introduced this survey and really wanted to understand in this context, what companies are thinking and what they're doing. And I mean, this service and this study really looked at different aspects and with very straightforward, simple questions on how respondents using or do they have an effort ongoing for ESG, so the environmental and social and sustainability environment aspects. And so if you ask companies, do you have that as a priority of your organization? Is sustainability a priority for organization? And more than two thirds would answer yes, right? So very, very clear yes. And then you would ask them, how would you rate actually your company's sustainability effort? Again, most companies would answer, we have quite good sustainability targets and also processes in place, and we are getting better. So more than 70% in the supply chain manufacturing world would say, we have actually above average great sustainability efforts. And then you ask, question, right?
Can you measure it? That's always the problem, right?
The point, right? So then you ask the question, can you really measure it? And this is where actually only 10% would actually say, well, we have actually the tools in place in order to measure it, right? So that's kind of where the uncertainty comes in, right? So people believe in sustainability makes a big difference. They also believe their companies have made the right choices and their programs. Can you measure it? This is where people struggle. And then there's the uncertainty. What is the real impact? Are the data which we generate correct or not, right? So and this is, I think, exactly where Google can make a big difference, where we can make sure in working with companies that the scope 1, 2, 3 data are more correct, that you can measure actually the impact and the aspects, right? So that's why this is a huge topic for us.
If we take a time frame of, let's say, 10 years around about, how do you envision, because that's quite my hobby, you know, Hans, the future of logistics and how does everything evolve and so on. How do you envision supply chains, logistics operations in the future?
Yeah, very good question. And I'm also thinking about this question a lot. And, you know, I'm working in this industry now for more than 2 decades, 25 years, and I've seen actually an evolution of supply chain processes over this time frame and even before, right? So, and this is quite interesting when you look into it, what happened and why things are as they are and why are disruptions going on at a pace where they have never been before. And I'm a strong believer that we are not going back to supply chain processes as we have seen them before the pandemic. I believe actually we are in the middle of a transition, and there are two big drivers which are driving this transition. The one driver is the dependencies. Companies want to be less and less dependent from, let's say, events which are being caused by something around the world. There's the need and the purpose to reduce risk. And with that, it drives more and more into a regionalization. And the second big driver is sustainability. And this is very much a society-driven aspect where society doesn't want to have the carbon footprint which is being caused by being product being sent around the world. So it both actually go more in this direction, that companies start to think about regionalization of their business. I call it the post-outsourcing world. And this post-outsourcing world is really what it exactly means. You don't go to China anymore for cheap labor and leverage cheap labor. You go to China in order to sell the products which you produce there. And this is, I think, a very different way of thinking, which we need to understand. And it's not just China. It's just an example which everyone immediately understands. But I'm very much believe that this transition into this post-outsourcing world, this regionalization, less dependencies, is actually driving a new setup in how supply chains will work. What I'm not saying is that global trade will go away. Actually, no, not at all. But you will produce more locally for the local market.
Makes absolutely sense. And only source those goods from far away where the region has the resources for it, right? Where you have no other possibility, basically, and where it makes sense from a value stream thinking.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then what it requires, though, is the highest degree of automation, right? So only if you really are able to manufacture products with a high degree of automation, then you have a cost structure which allows you to really distribute and then sell products in the different markets, right? So I think this goes in hand. So this high degree of automation, the visibility of data, but then also less dependency, the risk, reduced risk, the focus on sustainability, all kind of point to a direction where we see this regionalization / post-outsourcing world.
So more robots in logistics, where we actually see it already quite heavily entering. Are you also on the robotics side doing something at Google?
That's actually in the broader context of Alphabet, right? So the parent company of Google. Mm-hmm. There are also initiatives on robotics, but I'm not directly involved, so I can really not speak in detail. But yes, robotics is huge, and we work with quite a number of partners as well here, because we have the automation in the warehouse processes, and it's the conveyor belt robotics, whatever we have. And I think if you look at warehouses, there is a new strategy, warehouse as a service, or the pop-up warehouses in order to fulfill a demand on the spot. So all these kind of things need to be covered in an efficient way. So here we work with, for example, with a partner like Dematic. Dematic is a German company, or a US company actually, but is part of Kion. And so we're working with them very closely on this aspect on automation in warehouses, how we can be efficient in the logistics process.
All right. And the next steps for the Google Cloud in regards of supply chain?
The next steps are that all what we discussed now will be deployed to hundreds and thousands of customers, hopefully very soon, that we really work and learn from these customers how they want to leverage the data in a better way, that we really focus on innovation in the sense of really driving efficiency, having all these aspects in mind in terms of sustainability as well, not just cost. And with that, really creating an impact in the world and a better future.
I think that's a very good closing word, Hans. Thank you very much for this talk. It was highly interesting for everyone working in logistics. So thank you very much for that and for interrupting your holidays in Austria. Enjoy those days back home.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for having me, Marco. Thanks.
All right. That was the Logistics Tribe podcast episode with Hans Thalbauer from Google Cloud. Hope you enjoyed today's show. If so, please make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of the future episodes. I'm Boris Felgendreher. Until next time.